The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Little Bits, the easy-to-use electronic building blocks. Talking Simpsons listeners can go to trylittlebits.com/lasertime and get $20 off your first order.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. Welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we celebrate the Feast of Maximum Occupancy. I am your host, Bob Mackey, and this is the LaserTime Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. Who else is here with me today?
Proverbial pancake Chris Antista.
Nice.
And I'm whizzing with the door open, and I love it. Henry Gilbert.
And I was born a snake handler, and I'll die a snake handler. And today's episode is Homer the Heretic, which aired on October 8th, 1992. Chris will tell us what happened on this mythical day in history.
Oh, boy. You just won't believe it. Steven Seagal's Under Siege beats the box office into submission. Nintendo and Sony announce a collaboration on an upcoming video game technology should blow minds. And sitting President George H.W. Bush airs this campaign ad.
To pay for his increased spending in Arkansas, Bill Clinton raised state taxes. And not just on the rich. He increased the sales tax by 33%, imposed a mobile home tax, increased the beer tax. He assessed a tourism tax, created a cable TV tax, supported a tax on groceries. And now, if elected president, Bill Clinton has promised to increase government spending $220 billion. Guess where he'll get the money?
We all know how well that ad worked, and I'll end my news voice.
I like the subtle hillbilly theme, even though that is sort of the persona he would adopt for the 2000 election.
But that's the incumbent Republican appealing to, like, look at this redneck asshole. He wanted to put a tax on trailers.
Sorry, H.W. Bush, not W.
H.W. Bush.
I was confused for a second. I was like, why would a governor or like a future governor be like
also,
having that ad?
It's funny to see H.W. saying, like, he's going to put $220 billion in spending. Like, his son laughs at that. Laughs at that much government spending. Yeah. Like, he spent trillions.
Oh, man, we're going to piss off any right-leaning person in this
episode. Well, I mean, this episode's about religion, so sorry.
And I will say, why don't you just back away if you're very sensitive to a bunch of, like, left-coast...
types mostly.
Left-coast lefties.
Religious types mostly.
But the but also that the Nintendo PlayStation thing...
If you don't know, the PlayStation... What? How do we say this quickly? The PlayStation is...
I can sum it up.
Please, Bobby.
Okay, Sony and Nintendo make a deal to make this. Sony wants to take a cut of the software profits. Nintendo says no. They don't say no to Sony. They go to Philips and announce they're working on a thing together and betray Sony. Sony goes off on their own. What's that?
In public at a major event.
Yeah, at like a CES, I think.
Yeah.
It's a consumer electronics show. So then Nintendo doesn't make anything. Philips makes a CDI, and then Sony makes the PlayStation 3 years later.
Yes.
That's essentially this.
Which should have been the new Nintendo console. Yes. And instead, Nintendo paid for its own competition.
Exactly. And please listen to the Retronauts episode. We cover that on. It's the SNES episode, which is a fairly recent one.
Yes. I need to get back. I want to get back to the Adventure Island episode. That isn't just for me.
It's a deep dive, Chris. But
good.
This episode here, again, Chris, you're right. If you're a religious person, I respect what you do, but this is not the episode you probably want to listen to because I think this episode comes down on religion pretty hard. It's a George Meyer episode. Knowing that, knowing who he is, I think it makes sense.
Yes.
And as a 10-year-old boy, this helped me deal with religion, I think, in a profound way. Like,
it showed, like, I was attempted to be drowned, the Catholic tradition. That one, yes, where the priest says, get dunked!
And we're going to drown the God into you, yes.
That's what happened to me. I went to a lot of churches. I grew up with a lot of neighbors and friends going to their churches. My parents, not so much, but I was very religious. The more I questioned the nature of everything, the more guilty and self-loathing I felt.
Mm.
And this episode was sort of like... Well, you're not the only one with these questions,
yeah.
like that can point out these inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. So it's you're not an evil person, and you can find some humor in it. I'd never seen entertainment do that before.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I grew up in the South mm-hmm. too, and which is a very religious place. It's not, the Bible Belt is a real thing, especially 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But in Arkansas, like my cousins and my dad's only sister who lived with us lived in the same town as us in Arkansas. They went to church all the time, but yeah. my dad didn't. But mm-hmm. my dad is conservative in that he definitely is like, oh, he's a Christian and Christianity is the number one thing. But I think he's also lazy to the extent of like, mm-hmm. I don't want to go to church. though it could also, my dad's taking a beating on this. I'm sorry, Dad, yeah. if you ever listen to this. But I also think it's because he's cheap and he like,
not buying
he doesn't
suit.
Want to tithe. No, yeah. he doesn't want to tithe. He doesn't want to give money to the church. So he definitely.
What did George Cohen call church? A place for white people go to compare clothing?
I think my dad just didn't want to compare. He didn't want to give up money. Though the closest thing I did to going to church was I actually went for about six months to a year. It's hard. All the time feels weird when you're that young. Mm-hmm. But when it was like seven, I didn't get to hang out with my best friend in first grade mm-hmm. because on certain days because he'd go to church. He was in Catholic school, which was very different in the yeah. South. Like Catholic schools is close to like going to temple because you're yeah. a Baptist in the South. You are not not a Catholic. But so I went with him to his Catholic things until it involved too much work to prepare for one of those things. It was like, oh wait, I'm too lazy for this, and my parents aren't forcing me to do this, so. Bye religion, and that was the last time I
bye religion.
Went.
So,
I've never explained like my parents. I guess I can say now we're not that religious. My grandparents were, so that's why I was baptized. So we didn't go to church on a weekly basis. So what I would do is stay over at friends' house on Saturday night because I wanted to go to church, and my parents didn't go.
Oh,
so I went to Methodist churches. I went to Baptist churches. I went to Catholic churches as much as I could because I. Wanted to be, I don't know, forgiven, loved.
I mean, when you're that young and you hear the Christian stuff about, you know, guilt and what you owe and how you got to make good on it and how you're...
And how a man like, died for you, Henry.
Yeah, and that guilt shit, I won't say works on all children, but it really worked on me. I was really susceptible to that stuff. Like, I was just thinking like, oh, but when will Jesus love me? I don't, what will I do? Like,
I hate
bullshit.
I hate to, I don't know if it doesn't matter if it's bullshit. It's about what meaning you derive from it. I don't mean to like make fun of people of faith. I will say I went to Catholic church for the absolute last time when my grandfather died. He had like one, like for grandfather, he wore a cross around his neck every fucking day. So like, let's go to this Catholic church. And I'm there with my evangelical aunt and uncle who like, and so we're in this Catholic church and just like, Lord. And like, they're laughing and I'm laughing because they're kind of not necessarily scary church is at least up to date.
Yeah.
And like, this is Gregorian chants.
They weren't singing in Latin, were they?
Dude,
not a pre-Vatican
II
church.
It was so boring and irrelevant until the preacher actually got up and like started to talk, which is interesting. But like the audience, and like I always call on The Simpsons, them going to church is one of the more dated aspects of the show because when the show was out, everybody I knew other than me was going to church.
Yeah.
And now I don't know anybody, not one person who goes to church on a regular basis.
So I do want to tell my story.
I want to hear Bob's.
I did not grow up in the South. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a town in Ohio that was literally forsaken by God. It was a God-forsaken town. And my family was not anti-religious. They just didn't have time for religion. It's like, we're a working-class family. I want to sleep in on Sunday. Yeah. Church is too much work. We'll be fine. Let's just have fun and be a nice family together. Mm-hmm. So this changed for me when I was moved from public school to Catholic school at age 9. And all of a sudden, I was encountering religion for the first time, really hands-on. Mm-hmm. And it was church that really disturbed me in a profound way, because this episode speaks to me, because I didn't go to church on Sunday. I went during school. Like, every week, there'd be a school mass. And when I first started going, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing this? Like, we could be doing anything else but this. Why are we doing this? This is such a waste of time. It's boring. I could be reading my book at my desk. Like, the existence of church and how boring it is and how it serves no purpose for all people. This is what this episode speaks to. It's not anti-religion. I think it's anti the shit that
ceremony.
Goes along with religion. Yeah,
ceremony. Like
Church does not look good in this episode. There is no good view of church.
No.
The act of going to church is viewed as universally bad in this episode.
But
throughout.
It, for me, it was. It was really boring.
Oh, for me too.
For
like
a kid.
When there was a sleepover, I made sure to not sleep over my religious friend's house on a Saturday because it meant I would have to go to church with them on Sunday. And I did not want to do that.
I begged to go to Southern Baptist camp because that camp had 40 Nintendos.
That's pretty good.
And a water slide and a gym and projected movies on a big... Holy crap, religion is big is what I'm saying. And then I went through puberty. Women. Women kept me going to church.
Women.
Because
women,
you literally
women,
have
women.
To hold their hand.
Yes.
In like several times.
You can hug them sometimes, Chris.
Exactly.
But it got to the point...
I'm fascinated to know if... Do a lot of your friends go to church? Do you still go to church? I don't want to... You don't have to answer that.
I'm
in
not
the comments,
judging anybody. I just dislike church.
I don't know... Yeah. Yeah, I think that... Well, that's the thing. I was talking to my cousin about his evangelical church, and he's like, we were laughing at like the Catholics, and also with you,
yes.
And like, why are they still doing
May
this?
The mystery
there's,
of the
there's
Lord.
There's nobody under 50 in this church, and there never will be
well,
again.
Chris, before the 60s, it was all in Latin. Do you know that?
He said, my church literally has dubstep drops.
Wow.
Yeah. So like,
we had a cute lady with a guitar that would come in sometimes.
Or Bible
That's
Man.
That's pretty hip.
Yeah. But again, like, this episode really spoke to me because I got to the point after a year, like, I knew how much time there was left in church. Like, oh, we're at the homily, 20 more minutes. Then it's sweet, sweet, no church. Yeah.
It just seemed like an eternity as a little kid in Catholic church. Baptist and Methodist, I way prefer.
So, I mean, we're going on a bit, but I think it's important to know where we come from to know that we don't personally hate religion. For me, it's just the ceremony of it that, like, forcing it upon children who don't understand it, I think, is kind of wrong.
I'm not the biggest fan of religion, but I also have come to hate dogmatic atheists most. Of all,
I'm an atheist and I hate those assholes.
Yeah,
I don't wear a fedora, by the way.
Well, no, that's the thing of just like why, like I stopped even saying I'm an atheist because you think that means I'm such a logical egalitarian atheist, and if anything, you're a fucking fool for believing in this
sheep.
Demon with a pointy tail. And I fucking hate
Suck
those guys.
It's okay to go through Richard Dawkins phase. You should eventually stop though at like age 20 or something.
That guy's bullshit too.
Yeah,
I mean, sucks. And Hitchens too, man. Fuck that guy.
I used to say it's not interesting to be an atheist. We are all born atheists. because you would not automatically make up a religion as a baby
unless you slide onto a baptism pool.
So we're all born atheists. And then I said that in front of my friend from Tanzania, and I said it at a party. Everybody giggled, and then he came back to me 20 minutes. He's like, you know how disrespect, like, you know how hard it was for me to renounce my Muslim heritage, like saying we're all born atheists. So I just don't say that anymore.
No, I actually did hear that from a fan of ours who was very critical of me shitting on atheists because I am used to, like, there's no cost to being an atheist here. Mm-hmm. And I did forget what it was like where I grew up, like, even...
It was subversive. This episode was subversive.
Yeah, and when, like, I remember in my, like, 20s, in my early 20s, I was working at a Blockbuster. I was working at Blockbuster, and one of my coworkers... She was just like, you don't really believe all that Harry Potter stuff, right? That's a devil. And I was like, really? We're having this
I also worship Jigglypuff.
Yeah.
And I also told her, like, I don't go to church at all. And she couldn't believe it. She's like, what? I was like, yeah, I don't believe in that. And then I was like, I got to step back from this because I'm going to get, like, witnessed here. She's going to try to save me. Though I could point out to her that, like, the other person I worked with there... who was also super religious, she was also a huge Harry Potter fan.
Uh-oh.
So I was like, well,
how do you reconcile that?
I don't know.
Dude, check out the Golden Compass if you want to be pissed at magic.
I mean, when the
that guy really hates you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He
wants you to die.
When the second Harry Potter film came out, it was one of my first nights working at my job before Blockbuster, AMC Theater. And this is in northern Florida. And so a kid gets their, like, meal that comes with Harry Potter jelly beans. Mm-hmm. I remember
Bernie bought every flavor bean?
And I remember two parents saying, like, don't give me that.
The
like,
beans
we don't
of the
get,
devil.
We don't get that Harry Potter stuff. That's not for our kids. Like, whoa.
I think that's why we have a distaste for religion in general.
Yeah.
The Harry Potter thing being the best example. Harry Potter is not the best target.
Yeah.
It was just the most relevant.
Yeah.
I encourage people to look up videos of preachers denouncing Pokemon as tools
Ridiculous.
Of the devil.
Ridiculous.
They want to become the master of the Pokemon.
Ridiculous.
They're not the most demonic parts of media. They're just the most popular.
I think I could be more relevant if we get together as a community and sacrifice what is relevant.
So
But we are talking about The Simpsons, right?
So
oh, yeah.
Homer,
naked and wet. what?
Yes, we're all making him wet.
It's time for church.
I don't want to go.
It's church. You have to go.
Too cold out.
Nah, there you go. Fine.
I do think Homer the Heretic gave me the language I needed as a kid to understand that what I didn't like
it
about.
Said to me, this cool thing you like says it's okay to not like church. Yeah. And from then on, I felt comfortable. Like, I'm not wrong. The Simpsons is right, and I like The Simpsons.
And I have we talked for so long. I have way too many clips of everything just because I love this episode.
Wait, this is the first film Roman episode.
Yeah.
Let's talk
about
that.
Let me burn this one off.
Hey, okay. Where's Homer?
Your father's resting. Resting hungover, resting got fired. Help me out here.
In terms of pacing, this episode is just like, bam, like it starts. There's no wasted time.
So funny. Like, this is, could we call this legit the first fourth season episode for real?
Yeah. It's the first production fourth season, first film Roman episode.
No more Klasky, Chupo, Rugrats people working on it. It's film Roman. It is not just breakneck in terms of its jokes and gags. It is perfect animation. Like, well, for The Simpsons, it's perfect animation. Not too much, not too little, but doing things you can only do in cartoons over and over again.
I love, Homer feels like a pile of goo in this episode.
Yeah. I feel like Matt Groening probably hated this these first few years.
But, this was the film Roman thing. We talked about this some in the previous episodes. Mm-hmm. They dropped Klasky Chupo. Now they're working with film Roman, who had mainly worked on Garfield specials at this point, right?
Which were great. Excellent. Those Garfield specials, again, all written by Jim Davis, a guy we now hate. Those Garfield specials are amazing.
They're kind of beautiful.
They are awesome.
Yeah.
And Garfield and Friends was not a bad show.
No, it was a funny show.
Yeah,
it was pretty smart for a kid's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's run by Phil Roman. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's named after him. And he was a longtime animator in the American animation business.
Yeah.
He had even worked on the How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, that's right. And
really?
Peanut specials, too, yeah.
The 60s. Yep. Again, I have if I can ever get the site back up, acartoonchristmas.com. I'm saying this because I write about Christmas specials and not a fan of Garfield, and I was just like, this is amazing. The Garfield Christmas special and the Halloween special. Oh, there's only a couple more weeks left and I can start watching it again.
But this
I'm excited.
Yeah, but this episode is so, I think they were really
firing. They also made Bobby's World. Yeah.
And King of the Hill.
Yeah, Bobby's World is great. Why'd you go, ew?
Bobby's
World is awesome.
Right. I don't think of the animation as the best. But did you notice, I wonder if it was intentional that this episode begins with a birth, and so is this the rebirth of the series under a new animation
after we last
studio?
Saw sperm.
Interesting.
You're right.
Yes. Oh my god.
Wow.
They go out on sperm, come in with
they
a birth.
Do.
Yeah. So yes, I mean, there are so many great lines in this episode. Like, immediately Homer is home alone and just indulging in being like taking a sick day
right,
from church.
Right
what
off the bat,
I have one
of like seven lines of the show.
The joke.
I'm whizzing with the door open, and I love it.
I still say that every week.
I say this every day.
I do it all the time.
I work from home, and I always pee with the door open, and I always think of that line when I pee with the door open.
See, that's not the one I think of. I think of being in bed and just saying, like, I'm a warm, toasty cinnamon bun.
Well, to be totally honest, more than anything, rewatching this now, I grew up in Florida, as we said. The snugness of a really, really cold outdoors. Because in Florida, I loved it. It's pouring rain. Great. An excuse not to do anything.
Exactly.
I don't have to leave or fulfill any responsibilities. But like being able to snuggle up in bed and just watch TV or like a nice robe and slipper, like all of that I was romanticized for me.
Yeah. I think of that too. Especially when I have to get up to take a pee. Like, should I get up to pee? Oh, God. I'm too comfortable.
Yes. But eventually your bladder will force you up just like with Homer. So him in the shower, I had to look up two parts of this. So first, the song he's singing is the Tom Jones song Delilah, which Delilah. And then his radio says No Soap Radio, which I had to look this up because even the commentary doesn't fully explain what it is. It's
we kind of gloss over it,
It's a reference to a joke prank you can do. So, say Bob and I are in cahoots on this, and you're the innocent person here, Chris, okay? So, I then say a joke. I was like, hey guys, I got a joke. The elephant and the hippopotamus are taking a bath, and the elephant said to the hippo, please pass the soap. The hippo replies, no soap, radio. Now, Bob, as my confederate, would laugh at that, acting like it's a hilarious joke, even though the punchline makes no sense. And then it would wait to see if you would laugh along and pretend that you got it. And then if you started to pretend that you got it, they'd be like, ha-ha, fuck you, that wasn't a joke. That joke doesn't make any sense. You're trying to pretend you're smart. You're stupid.
Yeah.
This is to shame you.
It's a short con.
Yeah. It's a short con.
I only remember Bugs Bunny saying, no soap, Doc. In one cartoon.
It is a 1940s prank.
Yeah, but he said it in regards of like, I didn't do anything.
No soap is an actual expression, but no soap radio is meaningless.
But it has nothing to do with like soap operas, like soap opera free.
Nope. The joke is it's nothing. And if you laughed at it in the prank, then it proves you're stupid.
Yeah.
And so,
or that you're trying to be friendly with your friends. Like, oh, yeah, that's a bad joke.
Look, this is why I don't
like pranks. Assholes in the 90s.
Pranks are horrible.
90s was peak asshole.
Yeah. A prank, the joke is like, you trusted me, you asshole.
So there, that explains no soap radio.
It's a punch for flinching. We were really mean to one another.
Have any of us ever had moon waffles before?
Moon waffles?
The perfect chance to make my patented space age out of this world moon waffles. Let's see here. Caramels, waffle batter, liquid smoke. Ooh, waffle runoff.
All this is...
Homer toked up in the 70s and ate a lot of moon waffles. That's what they feel like.
The animation on this sequence in particular, which should be boring and Homer adding ingredients to something, is not lavish.
It's very expressive, even if it is a bit off model, which is what I like.
Very slightly off model in terms of The Simpsons. I like this. I wish every episode was
No,
like
I
this.
Love the slight off model look. I love when their eyes get really big, their pupils get big too in
and
these episodes.
If you want to see if my bias is showing, I've said how much I like season 2 and 3. I bought season 2 and 3 on Amazon's digital video service, and I watched them like that. I really can't be bothered nowadays to put in a DVD unless it's absolutely necessary. So I haven't watched season 4 since for about, maybe 5, 6
and
years.
And suffer through those awful, awful menus.
They're the worst. Yeah, they're the worst.
Here's a terrible animation. Watch it 9 times.
Yeah. I remember, I made my selection, and I'm watching it on my computer, and it's like, it's 11 seconds before anything's going to happen. Like, there's a
lot. We worked on this animation, Chris.
There's 15 more seconds of animation to be played.
I never made moon waffles, but I definitely, whenever in my 20s, I was like, I'm just going to lounge around and make pancakes for a long breakfast this morning. I definitely had Homer's lackadaisical, let batter splatter everywhere. Batter.
I have to explain this to my girlfriend every so often. One time, I was in a situation, it's pouring rain, and I just decided to get drunk by myself and watch Donald Duck cartoons until my eyes bled. And so I didn't want to go out and get anything to eat. I ordered Pizza Hut online. Because I wanted my ultimate comfort food. Bring it to me. I want a pizzone,
bitch. Did you go to pizza.net like Sandra Bullock did in the net?
Love that reference.
It really happened.
It's so good.
It became our future.
It really did. And I hate pizza. It's the worst pizza ever. There's a great pizza place right downstairs, but they don't deliver.
Yeah.
You got to walk 100 feet for that.
And I hate it. But I ordered once 5 years ago in Pizza Hut. Every once in a while, we'll send you a earth-shattering coupon. That you it would be stupid.
You're not a franchisee.
It would be stupid not to buy pizza at this price.
For $3, just get a pizza, please.
About 2 times a year, I order a bounty of Pizza Hut for just me. And I'm embarrassed for people to see the boxes. We're in San Francisco and everyone's a foodie, so I shred them up and run them out of my house.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Hello, Talking Simpsons listeners. Unky Herb is really onto something, don't you think? That baby translator? Who knows how that's going to pan out? That could change the world. Do you have an inventor in your life? Good, because this episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Little Bits. You know what Little Bits are? Little Bits are the easy-to-use, color-coded magnetic blocks that are basically like Legos that come to life in the form of inventions. Do you have a little inventor in your life? A DIYer, musician? Do you like Legos and wish they did more? Then maybe you could give Little Bits a try, and I'm only mentioning that because Little Bits has an offer just for Talking Simpsons listeners. You can go to trylittlebits.com/lasertime and get $20 off your first order. You can get started with a base kit and likely Legos just continue adding components at your leisure. You can build robots, bubble blowers, pinball games, and it's kind of only limited to what you can think of. There's a kid on the website who made a keyboard out of a banana. Little Bits has received rewards from parent groups and tech places like Popular Mechanics, and guess what? They also have further discounts for educators who want to put them in their classroom. So if you have someone in your life who you think might like Little Bits, maybe you should give it a shot. Little Bits' mission is to empower the next generation to have creative confidence and curiosity to ask why and build their own stuff, the unky herbs in our life. And once again, Talking Simpsons listeners can go to trylittlebits.com/lasertime and get $20 off your first order. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Not to speak for the lady, but she came back after like one of those city days of like somebody came in the bar station and dropped their pants and let diarrhea all over the platform. And it's just like, I hate the city. I hate it here.
Not to defend this person, but like, I mean, if I was outside and I had diarrhea.
Was it you, Dave?
I would just literally spray it everywhere because it's like, what's your other choice?
Why?
You have such a terrible opportunity for splashback. It's like containing a
nuclear explosion. How closely do you squat to the ground then, Dave? Are you talking?
Don't squat because then it'll get on my shoes.
Are your shoes nice?
I'm literally
nobody
like,
wants poop on their shoes.
I'm downward dogging it onto some wall. I'm sorry.
I've heard a really good story that this
secondhand information.
This girl like in a car ride home is just like, I gotta go. I'm gonna like something. We ate something bad. I'm gonna die. You get in the garage and it's like not gonna make it, like puts your back against the wall, like in your squatting position, and just lets it all go. And it's like,
just drop shower or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
And how far was she from a bathroom?
Close, but it's still like, dude, there's just a point of no return sometimes with that, where you're just like, ah. I mean, I've never done it in my pants. I know that feeling when you're running and you're like, that was a photo finish, man.
Yeah.
Like, you could have had the 1,000 frames a second camera to watch how close that came.
It wins by a corn. Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
So, yes, the Simpsons are all suffering in Church Without Homer, and something I remember watching this originally, my
mom...
That
was my other line of the show.
Oh, okay.
Fattening.
Nice.
Yes.
This is a throwaway line, but Reverend Lovejoy talking about the card table for sale, my mom
so
cracked up over that, and she was reciting that like over and over for at least a year.
If
like,
you've read a church
not
newsletter.
Badly damaged, missing a leg.
But I love that. It's juxtaposing Homer being home and not in church with how terrible not only church is normally, but how bad it is today. Validating that he made the best decision of his life.
And he was cast into the fiery cauldron of hell. The searing heat. The scalding rivers of molten sulfur.
I'm there.
I didn't set that up well. There's no AC or heat in the church.
Long version.
There's no AC in the church. Everybody's freezing, so Reverend Lovejoy talking about fire, brimstone, and sulfur is just like, yes, it's so evocative. I never noticed. You heard a crash there. He throws his hands back and hits a bush in the background that is frozen so solid it shatters
he
like
knocks
glass.
A piece off. I noticed
great.
That this time.
Yeah, I never noticed that before. And it, but again, that's why this. There's so many throwaway things like blink and you'll miss it.
There
stuff.
Are icicles coming off the pulpit.
Yes,
it must be like 20 degrees in there.
Yeah, and my other line of the show. Oh, let's keep doing this.
That's
oh yeah, so many great lines.
You must be the three chiropractors I sent for. Now start manipulating my spine.
Hey Mo, we don't know nothing about manipulating.
You heard the lady. Grab a spine and get cracking.
Mo is their leader.
Why, you?
I mean, I think of that every time I see the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
The kid, Mo is their leader. He's Mo just so... Leader.
I like that's Homer's takeaway. Like, he tells them what to do.
I love the Three Stooges so much as a kid. I had a stupid Just Say Mo shirt. wow. You can see...
I lightened up on the Three Stooges. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't like them as a kid. And,
oh, really?
I was a Marx Brothers guy. I thought the Three Stooges were dumb and too mean.
As a fucking five-year-old?
No, I mean, I guess... Well, I probably first hated the Three Stooges because because I play their NES video games.
Terrible.
But then, yeah, when I saw the Marx Brothers at like a 10-year-old, I saw the Marx Brothers, I thought they were funnier. But
they played the Three Stooges with the Looney Tunes on my TV.
Well, I also, when I saw the Looney Tunes, I was like, well, these guys are in color and can stretch around. They're more fun than
middle-aged men who are in pain all the time.
Can we just get together and at least it wasn't the Little Rascals?
It was always stratified above them, if I had that to pick. But I think I always come back to the Andy Kindler joke that also turned me on them. Yeah. He said, this is him on Dr. Katz, which is, you know, I think I figured out why women don't like the Three Stooges. They're not funny.
They're not funny. Do you think they ever rejected a script?
I've warmed to them.
When I talk about romanticizing things in this episode, bundling up on a cold day and watching Three Stooges, which I don't normally watch, but every time I do, see, like, this is fucking great.
Well, and the Three Stooges is, like, that's great observation of what was Sunday morning programming in the 90s.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Even then, because you'd either get televangelists who were basically shouting at you for not being in church.
One of your uncles or something?
Or the cheap. I do have a third cousin who is Kenneth Copeland is one of the very predatory evangelists who take advantage of people's beliefs.
One of the things that we see that Sunday morning programming is that really boring news program Homer has on. Yeah,
this is great.
Come on, TV, give me some of that sweet, sweet pep.
Let's define our terms, gentlemen. Are we talking about redistricting or are we talking about reapportionment?
Because can't win them all.
We interrupt this public affairs program to bring you a football game.
Yes!
I love the logo for that program. It's like two businessmen battling on a cliffside. One's holding up a briefcase. The other one's like swinging a mace behind him and like striking him.
So I just, for the Olympics, my girlfriend was really into the Olympics. I bought one of those digital antennas and a connector to my Xbox One. So I'm rediscovering over-the-air television. It has not changed. Do you want to watch the locals' news followed by Mama's Family? You can over the air. It's still happening, and it's like it is fascinating and again romanticized. When I turn it on, I can't actually sit through a lot of this stuff. It's all public affairs, like well researched, smart people talking about local politics. And I don't know. I love it.
I honestly think that's why Nicktoons chose Sunday mornings to premiere, because like what else was happening on Sunday morning?
None.
They had every child watching after church.
And so the Homer dance animation, there's so much great little animation here. Like the Homer dance animation.
I love
his
bear slippers.
His bear slippers. But I also really love, it's a little thing, but when he's eating the chips and then he pours the last of the chips on his stomach and then picks them up, like it's so well observed, like lazy fat guy chip eating behavior.
He's at his most hedonistic here. Like this is like Homer in his element, just indulging in every id fantasy he has.
Yeah. And when he imagined that this was the best day ever, I do remember my mom was somewhat offended that Homer put it above his wedding day. My mom did not like that.
He put it above dancing in an overturned beer truck fountain. I mean, come on.
Was there a lot of controversy surrounding this episode? This is.
Surprisingly, no. Like, I heard nothing about this.
I guess the show was already controversial and like on everybody's hit list, so it just would have seemed like Crying Wolf.
It was the naughty show for like 3 years, so I assume that like if someone hated this show, they would assume it would sink this low for them.
Churches hated him already. So.
Yeah.
And though it does feel like such a reverse, if they made this episode now, the plot would be not this episode in The Simpsons, but if a sitcom made it now, the plot would be more about somebody going from secularism to going to church, not about becoming more secular and not going to church, because like going to church is the out of the ordinary thing for modern television characters now.
Yes, and that's when I do see newer Simpsons episodes when they go to church. In the beginning, the joke was usually about, man, we have to go to church. And you only see Reverend Lovejoy now when they're making a joke about religion or advocates or moral high ground people.
So church is not just a natural part of their activities.
No, it's to make a joke about a certain kind of people, in my opinion, because they did it in the movie. And I remember, like, even in the Simpsons movie, like, they're sincerely going to church still? That's still happening?
Yeah, but meanwhile, like, if they did it on the Big Bang Theory, if somebody said you're not going to church or another popular sitcom.
There
right
is no
now,
God, Bazinga.
Yeah. Well, because they're scientists, actually, I do know from watching one episode of Big Bang Theory that Sheldon's mom, played by Laurie Metcalf,
She's the best.
She's actually great.
She's still above that show, though.
She's his super religious mom, and everybody's like, oh, is this why you became a scientist? Because your mom is super religious?
So far this year, my favorite show is Horace and Pete, if you haven't seen it. Because you can, most of you. It's fantastic, and she's amazing on it.
I think the only other show where they go to church a lot where it's not about religion is King of the Hill. Like, church factors into their lives.
Yeah, but you still don't see it that much. They don't have, like, a famous pastor character.
Oh, there's Reverend Stroop.
They're Lutefisk.
Yeah. All right. But whatever. Homer makes a decision to never go again. This is where the blasphemy comes in.
Yeah. Ah, my beloved family. How is church?
What did he say?
I, on the other hand, have been having the best day of my life, and I owe it all to skipping church.
That's a terrible thing to say, kids. Your father doesn't really mean that.
Like fun, I don't, Marge. I'm never going to church again.
Homer, are you actually giving up your faith?
No. Well, yes.
It's a great that act fucking break. Line. Yeah. Did Bart say, get bet, you old bastard?
Yeah, it sounded like, you old fuck. I have no idea what he said. But
it's beautiful. This was another bad pause by me on our tape. My pause ended in the middle of, no. And then it just goes next scene. Sad. But Marge's devotion to Christianity almost makes her look like too spiritual in this episode. That she's like, we have to go to church. You're going to go to hell. I have to tell the children you're going to hell. Which, if she said that now, that she'd look like beyond Flanders level.
Marge has to be more religious for this plot to work.
That's an excellent point, actually. Because to say this now, you would have to be like hyper observant.
But we didn't question it then. Yeah. So then Homer has a dream.
I have a bunch of it, because it's like, I never heard anything like this on television. Yeah, and this
all makes so much sense.
Homer is right, actually.
I can't believe you're giving up church, Homer.
Hey, what's the big deal about going to some building every Sunday? I mean, isn't God everywhere?
Amen, brother.
And don't you think that the Almighty has better things to worry about than where one little guy spends one measly hour of his week?
Tell it, Daddy.
And what if we pick the wrong religion? Every week we're just making God madder and madder.
Testify.
I can see the bearded face of George Meyer speaking these lines.
Good.
From between his long hair.
Because George Meyer came from a very religious family.
A Catholic family.
And a very unhappy one. And so he hates religion and it comes through in this.
Yeah. What was the last George Meyer episode? Something else he really hated.
It was Cops.
Separate Locations. Yeah.
Not a fan of Cops.
So Homer meets God, and I think if you're like me, you kind of forget that they're Sheldon dream sequences. They do clearly label them as dreams.
Yeah, that's important, because they didn't want to infer that God is actually talking to Homer.
Because that's that's how I remember it, and I think it was either a book or maybe a website that included God in the Simpsons tertiary character section, because he does come back, and I do love, and I have to point this out, that God and the devil are both Harry Shearer.
Yeah,
I don't think they're saying anything by that.
And this is his first appearance.
The devil!
This is God's first appearance in the series. Mm-hmm. Phil Hartman is a heavenly voice when Bart's
don't
in heaven.
Spit
but
over
it's,
the rail.
But that's not technically God.
I don't think it's supposed to be God, yeah.
And so, yeah, this
that's
is God.
God's PR.
And he has five fingers.
That's true, yeah. Exactly. Except in the last shot where they screwed up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Thou hast forsaken my church.
Well, kind of. But
what?
I'm not a bad guy. I work hard and I love my kids. So why should I spend half my Sunday hearing about how I'm going to hell?
You've got a point there. You know, sometimes even I'd rather be watching football. Does St. Louis still have a team?
No, they moved to Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I really hate about church? Those boring sermons.
I couldn't agree more. That Reverend Lovejoy really displeases me. I think I'll give him a canker sore.
Give him one for me.
I will.
So I figure I should just try to live right and worship you in my own way.
Homer, it's a deal. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to appear in a tortilla in Mexico.
That line really confused me as a kid. Like,
it's ahead of its time.
My parents had to explain to me the idea of, like, people see religious figures in things.
It's like the money-eating statue of Mary from Mr. Show.
I love that one.
Great.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
But the some sports facts here, which I'm sure I won't be
corrected
on. I
meant to look it up.
So,
I'll
believe
you no matter what, Henry, so please.
So the St. Louis Cardinals weren't just a baseball team. They were a football team. And they left. They had left for Phoenix to become the Arizona Cardinals, which they still are. But so this was 1992. In 1995, they got St. Louis got the Rams. Left L.A. Awesome. And so for 20 years they had the Rams, and now the Rams have left them again to go back to L.A. So St. Louis is now the only city to have lost two NFL football teams.
Now you'll just have to go down to the dump and cheer for Rats if you want local pride. I don't understand sports.
Cheer for their World Series champions, the St. Louis Cardinals.
They won the
baseball
World Series?
Team.
Didn't
they? They've won it a couple times.
You're dating the episode, Henry. The sports is a good segue to the next clip, because I am a nerd, I guess. I don't know. Yes. I love, you just look around my room. It's just a bunch of Disney, DuckTales, sci-fi horseshit, video game, Amiibos. Sports people are the nerdiest people I've ever met.
Without a doubt.
And so you've heard us on the show, like, what episode was that? I can't automatically think of every episode when we describe the plot. I can't think of the name of it. But sports people are like, yeah, he ran 400,200 yards in 1976. And always remember, but the people nerdier than that, and this always seemed normal growing up in these church communities, being able to say a old name and four numerics, like, that Bible quote.
That's a Numbers 14:3.
Yeah, yes. And so I love this sequence, because I don't hear many people do it anymore, and usually it's only preachers, but like, how is this ever how we talk to one another? Like, do you remember Bob
Austin
Mackey?
Austin 3:16.
Yes. Yeah, no.
Bob Mackey 4:20:69.
I actually think of that with regards to I think it was Roger Ebert who mentioned this once, that it's a rule in film that if one character starts to quote a Bible verse, the other character finishes it. They both
You have to, because like what it's trying to do, what it translates to immediately is not only are you know that exact passage, you know what it means.
Yeah,
you have but reinterpreted people, the literal nature of most Bible passages.
But people don't do that in movies anymore.
No.
Like now they're much more likely to say, "Hey, remember that scene in Star Wars where like that's literally what happens in Civil War, Captain America: Civil War." They say, "Remember that scene in Star Wars?" Yes, we all remember the scene in Star Wars. They could have said, remember in the Bible where this happens, but they don't.
I will say the unbelievable speak in an Aaron Sorkin show where someone's like, do you remember the case of blank versus blank? And like, the case over abortion rights. Like, that's what they... But here, yeah. I love this clip.
It confuses me when they say, like, it's what... 10-4 and pick 'em or what? They say that line all the time in Sorkin speak. Anyway.
Yeah. Homer, I'd like you to remember Matthew 7:26. The foolish man who built his house on sand.
And you remember Matthew 21:17.
And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there?
Yeah. Think about it.
Another one of my favorite lines of the show.
Now, I think this is a more of a Matt Groening thing, that Reverend Lovejoy is not evil here.
No.
He's not a negative repressive force. He's not sermonizing to Homer. He's not telling Homer, you're definitely going to go to hell for doing this. Like, he's treated with a certain level of respect, I'd say. And I know that Groening on the commentaries has said, like, he didn't want to turn Lovejoy into just their repository for mocking Christianity.
Which
for
he
him
is
to,
now.
Like, which he eventually
kind of
became.
Now.
Every character becomes
this
extreme...
Flanderized,
that's the perfect way to put it. And it happens to Lovejoy, too, But in this episode, he is not that. Like, he is a good representative of organized religion, not just making it look all wrong.
I love him talking to Mo about Mo's religion.
Hello, work. This is Homer Simpson. I won't be coming in tomorrow. Religious holiday. The Feast of Maximum Occupancy.
Pretty slick.
Well, you should join my religion, Mo. It's great. No hell, no kneeling.
Sorry, Homer. I was born a snake handler and I'll die a snake handler.
He's covered with wounds and band-aids.
I just ended up looking into this because on a recent episode of the Dana Gould Hour, a former writer of The Simpsons, he was talking about like snake handling. It was something the government had to eventually step in and regulate.
Yeah, like, you're too stupid.
It is a 20th century thing, though. And that's crazy.
The idea is like God is protecting me, so these snakes will not bite
these
me. But lots of people die from snake bites.
Tons of people died from snake bites.
It turns out God is not helping you with
this. Well, the devil eventually picks somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same with Christian Science. Anyway. The Flanders car chase is pretty great, too. It's a return to the 70s car chase pretty much we already saw in Separate Vocations, so maybe that's just a George Meyer thing. He loves 70s car chase.
I love the hubcap flying off, too.
Yeah, well, this is, again, where the animation is just, like, at the top notch for this. It's I love when Homer just pounds on his wheel like in the anger, and then the jump onto the boat, and it ends perfectly like the garbage island. Like,
I was expecting the Flanders car to fall into the water. It's, like, teetering on the edge of the dock, you know?
If this would have been season six, they would have.
Yeah.
They would have landed.
We are watching these chronologically, and just, I cannot believe how much better and better each of these gets to revisit. I hope you're listening.
There's so
listening?
Many jokes.
So good. Like, just this one of Homer reading a Playboy.
Is it Playboy?
An interview with Lorne Michaels. Wait, that's no good. Hey, now we're talking. Our unabashed dictionary defines IUD as love springs internal. I don't get it.
I got that when I first watched the DVDs, like, a decade later.
I think I get it now. I don't understand vaginas, guys.
It's a intrauterine device that prevents pregnancies, the IUD.
Oh, I was... Sorry, I was more on the Lorne Michaels tip.
Oh, the Lorne Michaels thing I got later.
Yeah, I predate the internet, and I've had... I had to learn to masturbate using magazines with photos of women.
I think we're all from that era.
No longer exists, but I just wanted to point... Those Playboy interviews... were basically the first podcast. If you've ever read one.
Yeah, they're
like,
17
pages long of the smallest text ever. And they asked them everything, and they where people would like make revelatory statements wasn't Playboy. I don't know how Playboy existed.
Well, you'd get to read the interviews where they'd say fuck too. They would just be talking normally.
I'm sure
you'd see Peter Sellers talking about doing weed.
They're no
like,
shit.
I smoke weed all the time.
Amazing. And like I discovered that after like, you know, I've wiped my chest off and I actually start reading the magazine. Like, this is an incredibly concise stereo review.
I'm sure they invited you to the mansion, got you stoned, and then turned on the recorder. I'm sure that's what happened. But yeah. Did you see the joke on the front of the magazine? Don't laugh, it's a car from Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's
I missed that.
It's a really funny joke. Yeah.
I was just...
It's no John Updike on the martini, but it's still good.
I lost focus on that, I guess, because I was just thinking, like, Homer's about to jerk off. Like, we're looking at Homer as he's about to jerk off.
I interpret it as he can't read a Playboy on his couch. Ever.
Yeah, and he can't do that.
Yeah, unless
true.
The kids are at church.
Well, though, that takes me back to the beginning episode where Homer goes, like, you bet your sweet ass. Like, that implies Homer ever worries about saying ass around his kids, which I don't think he does.
And there's too many great lines. I love that for a little tiny, tiny shred of canon that The Simpsons is keeping at this point, Krusty is still Jewish.
Hello, I'm collecting for the Brotherhood of Jewish Clowns. Last year, tornadoes claimed the lives of 75 Jewish clowns.
That's a lot.
The worst incident was during our convention in Lubbock, Texas. There were floppy shoes and rainbow wigs everywhere.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible.
Wait a minute. Is this a religious thing?
A religious clown thing, yes.
Sorry.
Well, bless you, Eddie.
Did Homer and Krusty ever interact before this?
I don't know.
Outside of,
Well, no, they were at dinner together.
Oh, right, yeah.
But... this is a very charitable Krusty in this
Yeah,
episode.
Exactly, yeah.
Compared to the, like, child murderer of Camp Krusty, this is a pretty good Krusty.
I think this is... But this is the show or the episode bringing out, like, how many people celebrate God in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Krusty was their only Jewish character, but
there's
one religious clown.
One Hindu character. This would also have been my line of the show.
Apu, I see you're not in church.
Oh, but I am. I have a shrine to Ganesha, the god of worldly wisdom, located in the employee lounge.
Hey, Ganesha, want a peanut?
Please do not offer my god a peanut.
No offense, Apu, but when they were handing out religions, you must have been out taking a whiz.
Mr. Simpson, please pay for your purchases and get out and come again.
What a deeply offensive thing to say.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he didn't, like, the joke is on Homer being a shitty guy. Like, the joke isn't on Apu, like, taking him.
No, it happens twice with Apu. And, like, I really, in 92.
The other one's better. We'll get to it. But
this is the real line of the show.
Yeah. I think of this all the time.
That's the joke.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
That should be the slogan for the every comment section on the internet. Like, if you feel like that, if you've ever thought that to yourself, you're already wrong. You've never had an original thought in your life, by the way.
I bet I could have written a better thing than this. Yeah,
most comments are predicated like, why aren't you as smart as I am?
Yeah, oh God. That's the perfect meme. That really should be more of a meme. Everyone is stupid except me.
Boy, Everyone is stupid except me.
I love it.
So at this point, Homer does set his entire house on fire with a cigar.
Now, so okay, so I would like to point out that the real danger here is not necessarily not going to church, but don't smoke.
And fall asleep smoking.
I had a friend who fell asleep smoking, burned his whole house down.
It seemed like a lot of people were doing that at some point. Maybe they still are. Like, I heard about, like, don't fall asleep, don't smoke in bed, don't fall asleep smoking in bed.
The idea, like, it is
dangerous.
It's the double thing of a lit cigarette, duh, but couches and mattresses.
Yeah.
Like, the cigarette doesn't go out. It just burns further, and a couch loves to... couch loves fire.
It wants to be your makeshift coffin.
Now, I said I did a bad pause on this when I recorded it, but I did a great pause on this part because it does, like, it's an interrupted cut back to the same shot of the fire. And so when I paused it on the tape, it was like fire to fire. Like, it looked like there was no break. I applaud myself for that one.
The whole place catches on fire, and all
the
of spring
damage to the house
is
irreparable.
Yes. Yeah. And I have a hope they got fired for that blunder comment. Like, okay, Homer is skipping church. How is Flanders discovering Homer?
Hey,
what's he doing hanging around
he
without...
He should be in
He's part of the volunteer fire department.
No, he's not. He's
certain
clearly...
callings that are higher than God.
No, he's not with them. He's separate from them. They show up after him.
Just next door. Yeah. He should be at church.
No but that the scene of him rescuing
George
Homer,
Meyer, you're irresponsible.
The scene of him rescuing... I wonder if he hated how this episode resolved, because it does seem to like be very pro-religion.
I don't think it's pro-religion. Mm-hmm. I just think it's anti like the bullshit attached to religion.
I think I mean, it felt more like a Simpsons-y ending of, hey, we're all religions are good, whatever you feel. But Flanders saving his life is great, especially like the animation of him diving back into it.
So
beautiful. Jim Reardon, by the way. Yeah, great,
I mean,
great image.
Is your favorite director?
I think so, yeah. Him and Silverman after him.
They said it on the commentary for the King Size Homer episode he animated that Reardon draws the fattest, funniest Homer.
Yeah.
And that is definitely true in this episode here.
And also, if you didn't hear the Patreon exclusive season 3 wrap-up, I made the case that Barney is the VIP of this era of The Simpsons. And he's doing it again. And this is not so much fun. If you listen closely, just that he burps while hitting something with an axe.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what are these axes for?
I don't know. Chopping stuff.
Gotcha!
That's a nice job.
This is the last time Wiggum could be smarter than somebody in a scene. Very last time.
He's at his most Edward G. Robinson. Nice rapping, bar.
Yeah.
I did, by the way, the first appearance of Little Jamshed, who I don't think we ever see again.
No, I guess it's like a retcon into being one of Sanjay's children.
I assumed he was Sanjay's. Yeah. Well, Sanjay's got a wife. Like, we do know that. Like, Sanjay's got a wife.
That's true.
So just the way Jamshed pulls the gun, the
shotgun.
How
I waited for this day, yeah.
He just pulls the shotgun of them, the way, like, Kearney is, like, slack jawed and dropping.
And the shit, it's so well animated.
Yeah.
It's like, this episode.
We won't.
I think I'm going to say this every time we do a show now. This is my new favorite episode, but the next episode will also be
It'll be like that for the next, like, 5 years of episodes.
You ducks,
Chris,
are really trying my patience. Also great.
They're so cute.
So cute. And fucking Kent Brockman, again, killing it. He'll kill it. Ugh.
Fire, man's oldest foe. Insatiable, remorseless, unquenchable.
Hey, it's out.
Yay! Coming up next, which work better, springy clothespins or the other kind?
That's a great local news like takedown. I love it so much.
Oh, that is that again. That might be my favorite line of the entire show.
We do have an especially cruel Homer, like a cruel Merkin-y Homer, imagining Ned Flanders burning to death in his own house and him out in a hammock, like laughing about it. So it's kind of like a jerk ass Homer moment, like 4 years before it became jerk ass Homer.
It is. Yeah. And though also God does take an active case in turn in getting rid of the fire on the Flanders house. So then they're all celebrating in the kitchen, showing that the house wasn't that burnt down.
No, it's just superficial damage.
But it's more this wrap up that I like so much.
I have a feeling there's a lesson here.
Yes, the lesson is.
No, don't tell me. Mm-hmm. I'll get it. Oh, I know. The Lord is vengeful. Oh, spiteful one. Show me who to smite, and they shall be smoten.
Homer, God didn't set your house on fire.
No, but he was working in the hearts of your friends and neighbors when they went to your aid, be they Christian, Jew, or miscellaneous.
Hindu, there are 700 million of us.
Well, that's just super.
That's just super. I love how patronizing it is, yeah.
Now, I wikied this. Uh-huh. Currently, it's over a billion here.
Yeah, I would assume so. I assume the message of this episode is it's not like the whole church part of religion that matters. It's helping people, mm-hmm. being nice to people, like, you know, pitching in and rescuing them if they're on fire. Yeah. Those kind of things are what matters in terms of, like, where we are on this earth.
And no religion dictates you doing that or not, because all those different religions were there. No Muslims, though, but...
Yeah, they only had two other religions to work with, Hindu and Judaism, so...
And Apu could have gone either way.
Otto was probably a Satanist. They don't even say it, but he was there. So.
And Lisa will bring in the Buddhism eventually.
Who knows what... was it Luann Van Houten was the other one? And somebody else?
But I think that's the beautiful message of the show and why I'm not... Like, please do not misunderstand me. I told you all the shit about me being a wannabe religious person. The backlash was amazing.
I think we explained our position
pretty
well.
I was the first Redditor with no internet screaming in everybody's faces that God didn't exist and you're stupid.
Take the red pill, dudes.
Totally am not there now. If I were to tell you in the most hippy-dippy way, and yes, we're all Californians, hey, why not once a week, why don't we all meet up together and just talk and eat and talk about life and maybe about things that we should do and things we could do better?
I think we turned that into a podcast.
We kind of did. And like, but that's essentially all church is. It's a celebration... And you need, and again, everyone needs to be careful of this, a celebration of you and your community. And that's what it should be. But also be careful of that when ostracizing people and condemning
And if you're a Catholic, you get wine, so drink away.
Exactly.
And I prefer Jewish wine. It's sweet.
It's sweet. Dude, it's Jewish disgusting. Wine. It is so sweet, that Manischewitz.
I love
so
it. Jew?
Oy vey.
Love it, man.
Okay.
And also, last bit, my mom, I just remember my mom was really shocked when God says you can't wait 6 months for the
I got.
Don't feel bad, Homer. 9 out of 10 religions fail in the first year.
That's game, Hendrix. God, hey, I gotta ask you something. What's the meaning of life?
Homer, I can't tell you that.
Come on.
You'll find out when you die.
I can't wait that long.
You can't wait 6 months?
No, tell me now.
So, I just remember my mom had like a little gasp when he said you can't wait 6 months. She's like,
which means that The Simpsons has technically taken place in 1992 this entire time.
Oh my God, headcanon is escaping again.
Yeah.
So the writers were expecting there to be like a, God says the meaning of life is, and he trails off. The writers were expecting there to be like, up next on Martin. like a Fox ad to interrupt the credits as it always had done. So
Martin damn Gina to hell.
They were expecting that to happen, but it didn't happen. So God just trails off and the theme song starts up, so it was kind of like a letdown if you were watching it originally. Like, you expected the commercial to interrupt the credits.
They expected the programming to make the joke for them.
Yes, this is before the credits would get squished over to the side. That happened in the 90s, but in this era, it would just be an announcer butting in like Penn Jillette on Comedy Central.
You're watching The Simpsons.
Also, I needed I needed Jimi Hendrix to be explained to me. I did not know.
I thought
he was
that was fucking.
That's game Hendrix.
That is yet another. God, this
great
season.
And this episode ends with Homer compromising, where he's like, "I'll go to church," but he still sleeps through it, which is amazing. I love that compromise. It's like it's still boring, and he's learned nothing, and he'll still have to go to church.
If this would be like. I could say, this could be my favorite episode of season 4, but when I know there's like 4 more episodes this season that I know I love more than this one.
I know every episode from here on out is going to be my favorite.
Yeah. For the next 5 seasons, I think I'm going to love every single episode.
Because the amount of time I spent digitally and lazily watching the second and third seasons, I'm going to love... Oh, man.
But again, this episode did help me grapple with faith, and I'm sorry if we went on for a little bit long about our personal experiences, but I feel like it helps ground our thoughts about this episode, where we're coming from in terms of our religion and what we believe, what we don't believe, and things like that.
It's our show.
Yes. Well, say we want to. You have a fast-forward button for a reason.
Don't fast-forward
through the
ads.
Don't
mean that. Your opinion is important, but also suck a dick.
Yes. I respect you if you have a religion, but please suck a dick. I've been your host, Bob Mackey. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I'm sorry about that. I don't mean that. And if you want to read my writing, go to usgamer.net or somethingawful.com and listen to my other podcast, Retronauts, every Monday at retronauts.com or usgamer.net. It's a classic gaming podcast. I just cracked everybody up.
If you can still tolerate me after this fucking indulgent episode, Cantis on Twitter, lasertimepodcast.com. We do a bunch of other shows, including Lasertime, which is a topic-based pop culture show, 30-20-10, a look. If you like the new segment we do, we have a whole show that's kind of just that, a look 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago of that week in history. It's really, really fun, and it's because of how many things we cover, it's guaranteed to nail one of your demographics.
And it's kind of old at this point, but I recommend the Ernest episode of Laser Time.
Yes,
I was annoying my girlfriend with Ernest trivia for roughly 3 or 4 days. Yeah. So thank you very much.
We almost
much,
do a follow-up
because
Brett's such a fucking Ernest hipster. Jesus Christ.
I love Ernest Goes to Jail. I'll be there for your movie.
Will you?
Yeah, I will All be. Right. Not maybe not in person, but I'll be watching it.
Well,
home.
You have the invite.
I can come. Oh, my God.
And I am H-E-N-E-R-E-Y-G on Twitter, and you can follow my work at Fandom, where I am the senior games editor. And I write about games all the time there. And also, I'm part still of the Laser Time family. You know, I did a comic book podcast. You can listen to old episodes of that, Cape Crisis. And I've been on episodes of Vigigame Apocalypse as well.
That you have.
But really, you should go to patreon.com/lasertime to listen to classic episodes of Talking Simpsons that you can find nowhere else. The first season, as well as our season 2 and season 3 wrap-up specials. Just $5 a month for access to that. patreon.com/lasertime.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with Lisa the Beauty Queen. See you then.
Infotainment.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.